Live from Teddy's Tavern downtown, it is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Titans try to win two in a row for the first time all year. We are live at Teddy's Tavern downtown. That's right, right across the street from the plaza at Bridgestone Arena, which we are so excited about. We will be here this week and next week for home games as the Titans win the improbable on Monday night against the Dolphins, and they look to win the probable today against the Houston Texans, joined by former Titans receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders, again live at Teddy's Tavern downtown, our home for the award-winning pregame show. Guys, we convinced Chris not to pick the Titans on Monday night.
I almost did, and I was upset. I'm still mad at you right now.
Then Chris didn't pick the Titans.
I'm not.
Then they won somehow, some way, miraculous fashion.
Yeah.
You play the Dolphins 10 times, that probably doesn't happen, but they did. And for finally, it felt like a week where there was no negativity. Fire this guy, fire that guy. The team's the worst team. Tank for a pick. There was positivity,
right.
Especially surrounding the quarterback. Today they played the Texans at home without C.J. Stroud, without Tank Dell, without Nico Collins, maybe without Dalton Schultz. The Titans are actually favored to win today. A big opportunity, I think, to maybe put to bed all of the negativity, at least for a little bit as we head into the holidays. Derek, big one today.
Yeah, it is a big one. Did you mention that Will Anderson may not be playing as well?
He's out, I believe.
He's out, yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, your starting quarterback, who was not only in the Rookie of the Year race and was leading. Hell, he was, you know, a top five MVP candidate as well. So you lose that, then you lose Will Anderson, who's your young leader on defense. You're talking about your first round picks. You know, but I think the most important loss, at least to me, is not having – we knew Tank Dell wasn't going to be there, but not having Nico Collins. Ooh. Because you need your number one – if your quarterback can't play, you need at least your number one wide receiver to be able to play. And now that Nico Collins is out along with Tank Dell, I'm not sure how you know functional this passing game is going to be, even though Davis is a he's proven that
he's out.
Oh, Davis
Keenan
is out.
Case Keenum.
Oh my goodness. So I mean, this is a game. And but if you look
let me say this.
Case Keenum is a
proven
backup. Is he the best backup out there? No, but he knows how to win games. He knows how to manage games. The Titans can't take that for granted. That, you know, your starting quarterback as well as your backup quarterback is out, your receivers are out, and your best defensive player in Will Anderson is out. You still can't take that for granted. They got to go in there and take care of business and take care of it early.
This game scares me. And the reason why it scares me is because it's kind of like the same situation that the Tennessee Titans were in last week. Everybody was talking about these guys are out. Simmons is out. You know, the secondary's banged up, and they found a way to win. I don't want the Texans to come in here with a little bit of – I know they got blasted last week by the Jets, but, you know, the coach is going to have them ready. But I don't want them to come in here with a chip on their shoulder. They got a lot of people out. Derek said the same thing. You got receivers out. You got a third-string quarterback that's coming in. So I don't want the Tennessee Titans to come out there slow and sluggish, playing awful on defense, you know, giving up explosive plays, not stopping the run. So they got to come out with their hair on fire. And we're going to see right now if this is a mature team. If this is a mature team, you're going to go out and you're going to throttle them because that's what you're supposed to do. But if you're a mediocre team, then you're going to go out there and flounder a great opportunity to come out there and beat the Texans.
Well, I think, too, like to your point about last week, the Titans were not expected to win. They had nothing to lose. They win the game. There's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of hope surrounding the quarterback right now and hope that he continues to grow. Given the injuries the Texans have.
That's a lot.
And the fact that it's a division game. And the fact that we know how ownership feels about Houston, given the personal nature of the divorce, which you were firsthand a part of, Chris.
Right.
And given the fact that everybody expects the Titans to continue the positive momentum, this could be a really bad game for Mike Vrabel if they lose.
That's what I'm saying, because everybody's talking about what the Tennessee Titans are going to do. They're going to come out and beat them. A lot of guys are hurt. But is it one of those trap games to where we like, okay, the Titans are feeling good, everybody's doing great, the fans are happy, you know, Mike Vrabel's excited, all this stuff is going on, and then they go out and squander an opportunity. If they go out there and squander this opportunity, then now it gets back to the coach and gets back to the organization and get back to the players because you didn't come out and do your job like you're capable of doing.
it's a situation, at least for me. Had they had these, say if CJ Stroud was playing and they end up going out, I would be more confident in the Titans because you can't just switch your game plan,
right,
you know, all of a sudden. But since they've had a week to prepare, I think that benefits the Houston Texans. They have a week to prepare. They have a week to put in a game plan just for Case Keenum and the guys that are able to play. And, you know, that tends to work out a little bit better. But it works out for the Titans, too, because now they know exactly who they're going against, what quarterback they're going against. They've had time to game plan for them as well. So it's going to be an interesting game, you know, because on one hand, if the Titans don't go out there and take care of business –
It's going to get ugly.
But then again, if they go out and take care of businesses, you beat up on a team that everybody's gone.
Absolutely.
To this point, if they take care of business, when I went to the Colts game 2 weeks ago, and I was sitting up there, and I said to someone I was at the game with, I go, this is a game Jeff Fisher would win. Mm-hmm. Because in typical Jeff Fisher fashion, you know, the team starts off terrible. Everybody wants to run them out of town. The media tells everybody that wants to get rid of the coach that they're crazy because, you know, if you let go of Jeff Fisher, somebody will hire him tomorrow was the thing that we were told every time we got mad at Jeff Fisher. And then all of a sudden, Jeff Fisher won a bunch of games at the end of the year.
Yeah.
The team that was, you know, 3-6 or 3-7 finishes 8-8, and it's like, well, they have all this positive momentum at the end of the season, and Jeff Fisher comes back, and the cycle would repeat itself. And I'm like, that Colts game is a game that Jeff Fisher would have won.
Yeah.
But then when they won the Dolphins game, a game that no one was expecting them to win, I'm like, oh, my God, here comes the Jeff Fisher. Like, they're going to win today against the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle has been playing terribly. They're going to be flying in, you know, across the country, short week. Titans might win that game. Then there will be so much positivity, so much excitement, that it'll be like, hey, you know, I know that we started off horribly this season, and I know that the season was a waste, but we got a young quarterback we like, and we finished with positive momentum, and that right there is Jeff Fisher football. If they lose today, all that goes out the window. The idea of finishing the season on a positive, in a positive manner that would get everybody excited for next year and keep the pressure off the coach is gone, because not only are you losing at home, not only are you losing to the Texans, not only are you losing to a team that your ownership hates, but you're losing to a team that is so undermanned today that you shouldn't lose. And everyone's going to point the finger at Vrabel if they lose, because Vrabel's the least popular guy of the important people right now.
No, they're not going to blame it on Vrabel. If they lose this, say if they lose this game, because I'm understanding how this whole media thing works when it comes to Vrabel. If Vrabel loses a game, it's not Vrabel. It's the roster is not good. They got a young quarterback. Yada yada yada. But I know it's because of, you know, part because of the head coach and the roster.
What media are you talking about?
The national narrative. Not necessarily. I'm not talking about like you.
You think I'm going to not blame Vrabel? That's what I wonder. When you get off the air, do you get in the car and listen to the other station? I'm saying from a national narrative,
it's never Vrabel's fault. But then when he win games like last week, it's all Vrabel. It's all, when in actuality, right. No, that was Tim Kelly. That was all Tim Kelly.
Tim 1,000.
Yeah. 1,000.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Exactly.
And the quarterback.
Yep. That was those three. So to me, it's not going to cut.
And Tyreek Hill's ankle.
Yeah, that was number one.
Everybody this week.
Oh, let's not talk about Tua. No, we're not going to go.
Don't get him up now, Jared. What do you think of Shane Bowen now, Jared?
Come on, man. Stop.
I'm like, Tyreek Hill is that entire team.
Absolutely.
No, you're right.
And when he went out, they were like, all right.
And they still almost lost. That's the crazy part. But they still almost lost.
But if they don't go in and do what they need to do, it will never be Vrabel's fault unless he does something so egregious that you can't help but to blame him. So, to me, what, they got four games after this one or three after this one?
Yeah.
You know, you look at the season, even if they win this game, it's sort of like that false sense of, you know, we're going somewhere, when in actuality, you're not.
You know what I call that?
You're beating up teams. What?
Jeff Fisher. That's Jeff Fisher. That was Jeff.
I'm not tagging a name to him.
Every now and then, Fisher, you know, he'd get in there. After you guys, after that first era was over and Floyd started giving him all these great players, it was like Jeff Fisher would do just enough. It's like, well, you know, the team didn't finish. The team started off 0-5, and they were 3-6 or 3-7, and then they win all those games in a row with Vince Young, and Jeff Fisher keeps his job. And then the same thing happened the next year, where they get into the playoffs on the last day of the season because Indianapolis rests all their players because they're already going to the playoffs. They get to the playoffs. They lose to the Chargers. Yeah. But it's okay because Jeff Fisher, you know, the end of the year, the positive moment, that's what we're looking at right now is Jeff Fisher ball. That's it. And, I mean, it's so sad because Mike Vrabel, I think, has a more – commandeering personality than Jeff Fisher.
No, he doesn't.
Like he's
what does
more.
That mean? What does that mean?
He's probably more nice. Authoritative oh, okay. than Jeff
okay,
Fisher.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like
Jeff was more smooth, yeah, nice. Right. Yeah. Everybody
Jeff,
loved
Jeff Fisher
him.
Knew how to play
yeah,
the game.
Exactly. Yeah,
Vrabel's an a-hole. Like that's the difference. But this is Jeff Fisher all over again. The young quarterback who they didn't even want because yep. they drafted a guard in the first round mm-hmm. over the young quarterback.
So what you're saying is he's going to be here for the next at least 10 years.
Well, what I think is going to happen is everyone's going to give Vrabel credit for the fact that they ended the year strong. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, hey, Will Levis is our guy. And, you know, we believe in the future and blah, blah, blah. And then they're going to go sign another Andre Diller to play left tackle.
They better not do that.
I'm just telling
they
you.
They better not do that.
I'm no, just telling man. You. That's how I sense it.
You had it already this morning, man.
Again, it's. I've lived this life. Uh-huh. You know, this is what I always try to tell people. Sometimes people say things like, "Oh, well, you know, I think that," and it's always a positive. Whatever it is that person is trying to argue is always a positive, or it's always the most dire that it was. Like when the Titans were 2-4, and I was like, "Look, I've lived this before. You're 2-4. I mean, you reel off 3 in a row." And now all of a sudden you're 5-4 and you're right in the thick of things and what like you know you guys were 1-4 and ended mm-hmm. up in the AFC Championship game. It's not the rule, but mm-hmm. it happens. But the thing that I've lived so many times is a strong end of the season, the fans getting the warm and fuzzies, feeling the positive momentum, and it all just being a farce. And that's what I'm looking at here. And I'll tell you because I thought that Vrabel this was going to get ugly for him mm-hmm. with the Miami game. Yeah. And then the Texans game at home, the way that they were playing with Stroud at quarterback, the guy that they wanted, who they didn't draft. And Tyreek Hill gets hurt. Stroud gets hurt.
Oh.
And now they may end up winning both games.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are a true, like, if you've been watching this team all season and have paid attention to this team, you can't look at, you know, last week and this week and say, even if they win, say this team is headed in the right direction. No, you're playing against you are going against two teams that were severely hampered. Mm-hmm. Miami, their whole offense was shot with Tyreek Hill. And so much so, this is why
their quarterback sucks.
No, but this is why I know that the Titans, they were counting their blessings. It was like, thank goodness. Because when he came back in the game, the whole mood changed.
So did, yeah.
The whole mood changed. They were going to – they scored on the drive that he ended up being on.
How many coaches have you guys talked to in your lives where they're like, Chris, you know, we were 5-3, and then all of a sudden our running back broke his hand, and then we went on the road to Denver, and there was a bad call in the end zone, and the next thing we know, we're 5-3, and then all of a sudden we're 7-5, and then, you know, we got to fire this coach, and then I got fired, and it's almost never their fault when they get fired, right? It's always, you know, this happened, this happened. Have you ever met a coach that's like, well, we were heading down the toilet, and it was a season that looked like it wasn't going well. We went on the road to Miami, where we were 13-point underdogs. But luckily, you know, we hit-dropped the best player on their team and sprained his ankle. And so then we get to play the Texans, and their star player got concussed. So we end up winning those games. So we kept our jobs, and we really didn't deserve to.
But
you never hear that.
Then on top of that, you got to remember they had three starting offensive linemen off. So now everybody's raving about the
Dolphins.
Defense. Yeah, they had three starters. So they're raving about Landry. Landry had three sacks, which he did great, but he was untouched. So I think the one thing we can't do is, just like you said, get all the fuzzies and everybody's excited, and then you go out and you lose 20-10 against a Texan team.
Here's how I compartmentalize the Dolphins game. It was exciting. I'm glad they won, and I thought it was good for the young quarterback to lead them back, you know, to have his first game-winning drive, his first fourth-quarter comeback, you know, kind of the confidence that I think everybody, the fan base, the players, himself, that they have in the young quarterback. Other than that, I don't think much of that went on Monday night. I think it was all a fluke, and again, the young quarterback is kind of the big factor in this. Let's continue on that. Sure. We'll do that next as we are live again at Teddy's Tavern here for the award-winning pregame show. That is right. Experience Tinsel at Teddy's, a holiday pop-up rooftop bar with a heated outdoor space, specialty cocktails, and endless photo opportunities and a scenic view of Bridgestone Arena. If you've ever wanted a Christmas-themed picture for your Instagram or your TikTok or whatever it is that you kids use nowadays, if you've ever thought about that, bring your own Santa and come up here for the Tinsel at Teddy's. They've got the best burger downtown and, of course, conveniently located directly across from Bridgestone Arena. Teddy's Tavern is the perfect spot to grab drinks and a quick bite before and after Preds games, concerts, and events. It's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Teddy's Tavern here at downtown Nashville. Of course, just steps from the Ryman and Bridgestone Arena and a couple blocks from the pedestrian bridge. Teddy's Tavern is where you want to be for all the pregame hottest events in Nashville. It's time now to move the chains. The four biggest storylines heading into today's game against the Texans. And, of course, we start at first down. What did we think of the young quarterback, Will Levis, taken in the second round? In large part because the Titans told Diana Russini their entire draft plan heading into the draft, didn't get the quarterback they wanted, which was C.J. Stroud. Unfortunately, Will missed the showdown between Stroud and Levis. But an incredible performance, almost necessitated by some of his own mistakes on Monday night. What did you guys think of the young quarterback? Chris Sanders, we'll start with you.
You know, just kind of looking at him, the one thing I love about him, I know his arm strength, and I know he's swollen. I know he has a tenacity. But this is a mentally tough kid that I actually love what he does. Because if you look at last week when they played against Indianapolis Colts, you know, they lost that game in overtime. And then you come to a situation where you go against Miami and everybody's saying you can't do it and questioning you as a quarterback. And I watch him lead a team to victory. So even though he made some mistakes, even though he made some bad plays, I just love that he's a mentally tough kid. I mean, I know he does some crazy stuff at times, but he still puts your team in position to make some great plays. So that's what I love about this kid.
He's a good quarterback, but there's still so much that he needs to learn. You know, because he wasn't perfect Monday and, you know, damn near cost him the game. But he was able to, you know, show some resolve, compartmentalize what happened prior to those last two drives, put it aside and went out there and ran the offense the way it should have been ran. He took advantage of the situation. You know, he took exactly what Miami gave him those last two drives. I don't understand why Miami was playing a pregame defense, I get it. But he took advantage, and when he had to make a play, he made plays with his feet. He extended drives. He threw the ball in tight spaces, and guys came up with the ball. You know, but before that, he was a little shaky. But, you know, things like that happens. You're going against a good defense, and you're dealing with an offensive line that's not good. So, you know, your game's going to be shaky. But when we asked him to make a play, he was able to do it. When we asked him to lead two-minute drives, he was able to lead those two-minute drives.
So I want to take that to second down here because that brings up the second point on Levis that I have. So with that, we go to second down. Will Levis leads two drives in the two-minute in order to score there against the Dolphins. He also led the drive when Vrabel decided to finally let him throw the ball at the end of the first half. Go back to the Colts game. They drive down the field. They score. They miss the extra point. not necessarily sure that that's Will Levis' fault that they missed the extra point.
Right, absolutely.
Then in overtime, they get the ball. They drive down the field. They kick a field goal. Indianapolis throws a ball over Sean Murphy Bunting's head. Not necessarily sure that was Will Levis' fault. Regardless of the mistakes, and I'll agree with you guys, there's a lot of mistakes. I think some are caused by no protection. Mm-hmm. I think some are caused just by bonehead rookie decisions. But in the last two games, with the game on the line and the ball in his hands, he has given the Titans more than a chance to win. Mm-hmm. How impressed with that are you?
You know, I'm very impressed. And the reason why I'm impressed with what he did, I want to go back to the Miami game, is when he threw the interception early, he threw a pick six. I kind of watch his body language. When you watch the body language of a player, you're going to see how he responds. And you got a kid that threw an early interception, pick six. He could have went down in the tank. But when you have a kid that's confident in his ability, he's going to go out there and make some plays. And when you're in a situation where you have to make a play and you got to get a touchdown, it's just something inside him that rises up to say, you know what, I'm made for this moment. And when you have a quarterback like that, he just makes everybody better, your defense, your offense, and your special teams.
Yeah, I mean, he's – he has the ability to do the things you need a quarterback to do to win you football games. Now, he needs more talent around him, and we know where that talent lies, the offensive line. But he is capable of, listen, if you want to play, you know, if you want to make it easy for him, if you want to, you know, not disguise your coverages and allow him to see, you know, to see the minute he comes from the huddle what you're doing, he's going to slice you up all day.
Absolutely.
So, to me, though, these last 2 weeks, well, last week and, you know, obviously this week with the injuries with Houston, I want to see how he bounces back from, you know, what he did in Miami and the comeback drives that he led. How does he now, you know, come into this game, and can he do it for a full game?
Right.
Or will it be another, oh, we're down, you've made some mistakes, and then the last 2 minutes of the game, when the defense is sort of playing coverage that you can see, now I take advantage of that. I want to see him go out and start where he finished last week against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and when he played against the Falcons there, that's a great point. He played against the Falcons and the Miami Dolphins. Their secondary was standstill.
Yeah.
Me and you can read that. Okay, I'm going to this guy. But when they start moving around, I do want to see how he's going to respond. When they have a safety scroll and a safety scroll is a different way, how's he going to respond?
Exactly.
But you got the Atlanta Falcons. They were just in a cover one. I mean, you just got
cover one, cover three of easy coverage.
That's either. But now when they start to confuse you, how is he going to handle that pressure, and how is he going to make those plays in that type of situation?
But you also but what I do know about this game is that the more confidence you build up, regardless of what's in front of you, the more confidence you build up, the better you become in certain situations, because you always feel, I can do it. I've already done it. Mm-hmm. The difference between, you know, sort of good players and great players is the guys that can do it consistently.
Right.
They get used to doing it and don't feel the pressure when they have to do it. Well, Will Levis can be one of those guys that he doesn't feel the pressure when he has to step up big. Yep.
That takes us to third down. I cannot tell you how many people were singing the praises of the Titans defense, a unit that has been atrocious all season long. The Titans defense gave up almost no points against the Dolphins. Again, 7 off the pick six, 7 off Eric Gehrer's fumble, 7 off of the missed pitch, 21 points given up by the offense or special teams. And yet I have a hard time of believing that the defense that got absolutely shredded by Gardner Minshew the week before, I have a hard time believing that they rose to the occasion on Monday night. I think it has more to do with Tyreek's injury and Tua's inability to be good outside of Tyreek. But maybe I'm just a hater, Chris Anderson.
No, I mean, if you look at the Miami's offense, I mean, they had 3 offensive line guys, starters were out. So if you have 3 of your starters out, I mean, your defense better put pressure on them. And then you have Tyreek that gets hurt, and he's out the game, so you don't really have another – you do have another explosive player in Waddle, but you just double him. I don't want to get my hopes up too high. I know they played well. I know they won the game. But you got to look at the Miami's offense. They were downgraded to some other guys they weren't supposed to be in there. So I want to see what they're going to do this week. They're going against a Texans offense that's everybody's out. They got offensive line guys out. They got some big-time receivers out. And if they can play well against them, then I maybe will crown them that they're okay.
But here is what helped the Titans last week. And it's not even really about Tua or about Tyreek Hill in the red zone. It's about McDaniels. He's an idiot. Oh. He's an idiot. I'm gonna say, and I mean that with the most sincerity and
no,
and,
you don't,
and whatever else you want to throw in there.
Yeah.
But in those situations,
so you sincerely think he's an idiot?
He was an idiot in those situations. Why? Here, Jeffrey Simmons is out.
Yep.
Tier Tart, we don't know where he was in as far as headspace. You chose not to run the football. You wanted to pass your way into the end zone from the 3-yard line.
Although, and when they were fumbling high. The ball and giving the ball up, they did run the ball with Mostert into the end zone.
That's when they ran the ball, they got in the end zone.
Sure.
When they didn't run the ball, because even the fumble was supposed to be a pass. That was supposed to be a pass. I don't understand why Mike McDaniel, when they are depleted up front, when I mean depleted, I mean Jeffrey Simmons.
Right.
And you choose not to run. You want to play cute ball. You want to play Golden State ball. That's what, like Rand Carson said. You can't play Golden State ball all the time. You got to be able to muck it up with the run game. Right,
you got to have Steph Curry in order to do that.
Exactly.
When Tyreek Hill's hurt,
you don't have Steph Curry anymore.
Hey, we saw Golden State when they didn't have Steph and Clay that
exactly.
one. They were terrible.
But what I'm saying is that Mike McDaniel put it on a silver platter for him.
Yeah,
I'm not running the football. I'm going to try to pass my way into the end zone. And they were not able to do it. And when they chose to run the football, they got in the end zone. So I look at this Titans defense, and I don't look at the Miami game and say, oh, this defense, you know, is starting to get better. No. What happened was their best player was out, offensive lineman was out, and the offensive coordinator slash head coach wanted to be too cute when he was in the red zone a few times. The only time they score is when they ran the football. For some reason, when it got down there, he chose to throw the football instead of running it.
So who are you blaming? Are you blaming the coach?
I blame the coach, but the Titans took advantage. But but I'm not taking anything away from
absolutely.
The Titans. They took advantage of that. Like, if this is the way you want to play, all right, that's cool with us.
I watched the Hard Knocks that they did on the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought so much less of McDaniel after watching that episode. One, he's walking around the facility wearing a Louis Vuitton sweatshirt.
Hey, he like your style, like, man. He's stylish. You can't
he ain't got
stylish,
no man.
You got to be wearing. You got to wear the team
like
gear
in, the
in there.
It probably was. It probably had a dolphin, right?
No. It felt like it was the kind of insecure, like in the way that he
weighs about 112
he
pounds.
Cursed so much. That even me, like,
but that's him.
No, that's not him. That's him trying to be
tough,
cool
tough.
With the team. Yeah,
he probably
he's
is
like,
cool.
No,
not a chance.
No,
come
no,
on, man,
no,
you can't
no.
have.
Y'all got to get a man a benefit of that. He probably is
12 pounds.
You just said that he's an idiot.
Yeah, in that situation,
okay.
He was being
so,
an idiot in that situation. But that doesn't mean he's not cool.
Like his messaging to the team, he got up there with the team the week of the game, and he was like, "Guys, right now we are the number one seed in the AFC." I was like. What coach gets up there at the beginning of December and
Daniels,
says, we're the number one seed of the AFC? You think Bill Belichick ever got up there all those years and said, guys,
and that's
if
why
the playoffs
he's not Bill Belichick.
Today, we're I just cry. I
oh,
think less
man.
Of him. That takes us quickly to fourth down.
Fourth down.
Mason Kinsey signed to the active roster. I assume he will return punts this week. No more Kyle Phillips. No more Eric Gehrer. D-Mace, as an all-pro punt returner. What is the matter with the Titans and the punt returner?
Just catch the ball, man. That's all.
Or just get away from it.
Just get away from it and just catch it.
What do you think of Garrett's fumble? You know, there's the crybaby take.
You know,
they pulled his arm into the ball.
I had to explain on our show, Willie, Caroline and D-Mace, or Caroline, Willie and D-Mace, from 11 to 2 people. I had to explain to them, once the ball hits the ground, you lose all protection.
Yeah.
When the ball hits the ground, you lose all protection. That's why we are taught, get away from the football. Because if you're close to it, a defensive player can push you into the football. That's not a foul.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up being a turnover. I think he was sort of caught in this middle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it go, but then it bounced right to me. And I thought about getting it, but then I got my arm pulled.
And get your arm
and
pulled, man.
Then, you know, it bounces off. And that's what Vrabel was explaining. I'm sure that's what Vrabel was explaining to him on the sideline. Like, when it hits the ground, no matter what, just get away from it.
But you know what, D-Mace, just to kind of coach a little bit, but when the ball is like that, that's not just Greer. How you pronounce it? Greer? Guerrero's fault. Guerrero. It's not his fault. It's everybody's special team's fault.
Yeah, they got to get away from the ball.
They got to say Peter.
Agreed.
They got to say Peter.
Agreed. But he's the one that ran up to the ball and touched the ball.
I understand that, but
it's his fault.
Everybody's got to play a part in it because somebody's got to yell at
him. We got to stop doing this where we don't blame the guy who screwed up. We got to blame the guy who screwed up.
Absolutely, 1,000.
I mean, that's how Craig Aukerman kept his job for so long, is we spent so much time not blaming the guy whose fault it was by coming up with excuses of how it wasn't his fault.
But it's the whole special teams, man.
We
got to
stop doing that around here. We got to stop looking at someone who screws up.
I'm not blaming. I'm not taking away from blame from the returner. The returner was he was fully responsible.
How mad would you be mad at yourself? How mad would you be at yourself?
If that was me, I wouldn't have done that.
But if you did it, how mad would you be?
No, I wouldn't have done it.
Hey, you went down there to Miami one time.
I wouldn't have done
it. And there was a ball that you tried to catch that you didn't catch, and then you just stopped.
But the ball wasn't on the ground, though. The ball hit the ground.
They had to review it. They didn't know if you
caught the ball or not. It did.
And you just stopped.
I remember that play.
And
they
were on TV like, Mason just stopped. So he probably didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, just moved away. I know it. There comes a point when you see the ball like, nah, let me get away from it.
You were like, I didn't touch it.
So, but I wouldn't have done that.
Coming up next, take a look at the offensive side of the ball. We're live at Teddy's Tavern. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the playbook on the pregame show, the Titans today against the Texans. So I've got a serious question here, Chris Sanders.
You got, big dog?
So the question is, for today's game, I don't know, you know, Will Anderson's out for the Texans. Yeah. I don't know who's going to what. Vrabel walked in wearing the Bum Phillips cowboy hat, which I was a little surprised by. But
yes, sir.
Outside of that, I want to do two things here as we go inside the playbook. One, I want to go over which guys on the team have earned spots for next season or you think could earn a spot for next season. But first, I want to start with this.
Sure.
The reaction to Monday night. I am Johnny fan. And I say to you, Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Chris, after that Dolphin game, I'm convinced we have a quarterback. What would you say to Johnny fan?
I would say we do. I mean, and the reason why I love Will Levis is he just brings a different attitude. I mean, I know we love Tannehill, and I know Tannehill did some great things. But just watching this kid take, you know, command of the offense, watch what he did, you know, to try to come back and win the games, those are the kind of cats that you want on this team. But the thing that I'm kind of concerned about, I just want to make sure he's consistent each and every week. And if you have a quarterback that's consistent each and every week, then I'll start to believe with him. So if he comes out in this game, those three interceptions and gets sacked and hold the balls too long, then it's going to be in question. But if this kid comes out here and lights it up, then I think we can be happy with seeing what he's going to do.
Derek, I'm Johnny Fan.
Johnny Fan.
D-Mace, you were a great player on this team, and then you got cut and went to the Ravens, and you hated this team for a while, and then you moved back to town, and you started liking this team again. We have a quarterback. What would you tell Johnny Fan?
As far as the quarterback, I think a lot of me want to say they do have their quarterback. Mm-hmm. I do want to say that, but I know how this league is.
Absolutely.
I know how this league can be. I know that you can have a great season one year, then they go back and they do film work and they figure you out in the next year. They make it extremely hard for you. Or, you know, other outside circumstances that you can't control, meaning, you know, injuries and everything else just sort of derails you as a player. But I think as far as the makeup of a quarterback, I think he is the guy. Mm-hmm. Now, whether, you know, he takes that and, you know, expand on it, that's going to be purely up to him.
Absolutely.
Charles London and Tim Kelly.
And Vrabel and Rand Carthon, because they need to get better players in here.
Yeah, but those are things he has no control over. I'm talking about the things that he has control over as far as getting better, learning how to read defenses a lot better, predetermining at times, knowing ahead of times. He needs to, and every quarterback isn't like this, but he needs to see plays two or three. You know, he needs to see defenses two or three plays ahead. He needs to be ahead of what they're doing from a defensive standpoint. He needs to be like a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady. Guys that when they go up to the line of scrimmage, they know they're pointing everything.
Sure.
Out,
but that's going to take.
It's going to take some time. Yeah, absolutely. So I think he does have the makeup to be this team's franchise quarterback. But we also seen guys that had the makeup that it just didn't work out. Vince Young or whoever, you know, Marcus Mariota, as far as the makeup of, you know, a guy that can do some things on the field that can be not just creative, but that can put together or be an explosive player, not just throwing the football, but running the football. Marcus has some of those makeups too, but it just didn't work out for him.
I can't tell you how many games Vince Young's rookie year he had that were the.
Oh, he did.
Uh-huh. We got a cornerback with him, and then we saw how that ended. Exactly. And then Mariota had a couple of those games as a rookie too.
Well, that's why I'm saying, you know, I want to sort of pump the brakes. Not pump the brakes because I don't think he can, but let him mature into that on his own. Let's not rush him into – he has the tools. Now they need to surround him with the players because you can have all the tools. If you don't have players around you, you're never going to be able to, you know, reach the potential that you could.
Well, does it, let me ask you a question. Do you think he has that it factor? We always talk about the quarterback has that it factor. You know, watching him – just watching him do the Miami game, I know he came back and won the game for the Tennessee Titans, but does he have that it factor to take this team to the next level?
So I think he's shown – the it factor, but showing it and having it, I think, are two different things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to do it more.
Exactly.
For, like, when you guys played with Steve McNair early in his career, I'm sure he had to earn the it factor, show it a little bit. But then when he was Steve McNair, you guys knew 2 minutes to go, we're getting the ball back, we're going to win the game.
But see, when he first walked in, we knew he had that it factor. You know what I'm saying? But he still had to, you know, develop as a quarterback.
See, I mean, here's what I think about Levis. I think when it comes to all the boxes that it checks, that you have to check in order to be a good quarterback, I think arm, Levis has it. I think athleticism, Levis has it. I think, you know, from an accuracy standpoint, he has it. Not consistently enough, but he's much more accurate than, say, Vince Young was ever. When it comes from, you know, is he smart enough? I think he's smart enough. Is he a good enough leader? I mean, it looks like he's a good enough leader. TD says that in the locker room, he has won that entire group over. So all those, he checks all those boxes. The question is, can he fine-tune himself to where all the good stuff becomes more consistent and the bad, boneheaded stuff that we've seen becomes non-existent? And it's not going to happen overnight. But that is an overtime thing. Like that pick six he threw on that screen pass, he can't have that.
Yeah, he can't. But also what helps him is the roster needs to get better, because if it doesn't, and this is what I've been sort of cautious about with Will Levis, is because the offensive line is not good, because you have inconsistent playmakers on this team, taking out DeAndre Hopkins because he's been consistent, but everyone else has been up and down, it will cause you to develop bad habits. And that's what I'm worried about. That's why, to me, the task for Vrabel and Rand Carthon is to get this roster back to where it needs to be. It doesn't need to be the greatest roster in the NFL. It's going to take time for that. But it doesn't need to be what it is now.
It could be a much better roster next year.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So, with that, I do want to go through this. Because right now, again, the Titans have a 1% chance of making the playoffs. I just screwed around with the New York Times playoff predictor thing while you guys were talking in the last segment about like what it would take for the Titans to make the playoffs. Basically, every team that's in contention for the wild card needs to lose, and every team that is like in command of a division, like a Kansas City or something, they need to win. And then the Titans have to win all their games in order to make it.
They could.
It's not going to happen. Like, I'm just here to tell you, like, it's not going to happen. So we got to worry about next season.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to go over these players, and you tell me if you think the Titans, with a conscious soul, can go into next season, or maybe this offseason, thinking that that guy can start for next season. Jalen Duncan at left tackle, yes or no?
Kind of.
If you're asking me now, no.
Okay, I agree. Why kind of?
Because you're still not sure.
He's banking on him to get better.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm not doing anymore. That's what the time. That's how you end up with Chig. Is it's like.
But Chig's been balling though.
He had
the last couple of games.
Last two or three games.
He made some big plays.
He caught a ball, dropped it, and kicked it.
Jared, I told you, had he caught that ball, it'd have been an 8-yard loss.
Come on, man.
So it's best that he didn't catch that ball.
He's great. So again, that's how you end up with Chig. Is you say, well, you know, he had a nice rookie year. He should develop. He should. No, no, no. We want starters on the team. So Duncan, we say no.
No,
I'm a no.
Okay, Skoronski.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. Brewer, who is a free agent.
No. You could bring him back on the team. No, no, no. Yes, yes, but not as a starter. He's not a starter.
Okay, no.
I say no.
Because we're saying who can start next year.
Okay, no. He's not a starter.
Okay, agree. Brunskill's a free agent.
No.
No, let him go.
Okay, Raidens.
No.
A starter, no.
No.
Okay, PT.
Yes, Ohio State.
You know, okay, so here. I'm going to explain. Yes, but I'm going to explain quickly. I don't need to rebuild the whole offensive line. I just need to give me a left tackle and another center. I already got my guard. We'll work this out over here. Put PT at right tackle and put somebody else. I don't need, like, five or four new offensive linemen. I just don't. If I solidify what I need to, the left tackle and the center, it will make everybody else's job a lot better because they don't communicate.
Yeah. Okay. I say yes to him.
So majority wins here. I think PT sucks, but again, you two say okay. Levis.
Yes, man.
Okay. Henry and Spears as a combo. Henry's a free agent.
As a combo, would you
let Derrick Henry walk and go add another back to go with Spears, or would you bring Derrick Henry back for, the leadership, and, B, to kind of be that more thumper to Spears in the combo?
Here's the answer to that question. They brought him back this year because of the leadership. They didn't cut him this year because of his leadership. Next year, if you are a smart GM, you allow him to go test the market. Hey, listen, this is what we're going to give you. If you feel you want more, go test the market. I'm only giving that option because of probably one of, if not the greatest, but one of the greatest GMs in the National Football League, Ozzie Newsome. That's what he would do. He even did it with Ray Lewis. Like, listen, this is what we're going to give you. We respect you. We love you for what you did to this organization. But this is what we're going to give you. You're getting older. If you feel you can go out and get a bigger deal, do it. We're going to give you that opportunity. But if not, here's the deal that's on the table, and you take it. Ray end up taking that deal. That's what the Titans need to do with Derrick Henry this season. Here's the deal. You take it. But if somebody else want to give you something more, fine, go take it. But if not, the deal will be here for. We're not going to pass up on the deal. It's here for you. Absolutely. If you want to take it, you can be our back. You won't get as many carries as you did last year, but you still will be like the starter.
I'm going to make a lot of people mad right now, but this is just my opinion. I think Spears is a better back than Derrick Henry right now. I really believe that. I mean, if you look at some of the runs.
All-around back.
An all-around back. And I'm not saying that Derrick Henry's not a great. He's probably one of the greatest backs to ever come in this organization. But I'm talking about right now that Spears is more explosive hitting the hole. So I'm bringing Spears back to be the starter, and then I'll go get another back.
So I thought Spears' most impressive performance of the year was the Colts game because when Henry went out with the concussion, Spears ran the football and ran it effectively.
Right.
I do have concerns, though, given his build, about Spears being able to be a consistent runner. You know, a guy that you could turn around, hand the ball to 23 times in a game.
Right.
I do wonder if Spears really is. As a third down back, he's an excellent third down back as far as catching the ball out of the backfield, pass protection, things like that. And I think Spears was excellent Monday night in the third down back, two-minute back role. But as far as running the ball, I don't know if Spears' body can hold up doing that.
Okay. Look at and I'm not saying that he's Christian McCaffrey, but when Carolina chose to give Christian McCaffrey the ball a lot running the football, it opened him up to more injuries. Mm-hmm. But if you just allow him to touch the ball 23
that's
times, whether it be in the pass or the run, that's much better on his body. That's what they're going to have to use Tajay Spears as.
Shouldn't they be doing that now with him and Derek on the field?
I mean,
at the same time?
No, you're right.
Because these other teams, like I watched the Hard Knocks on the Dolphins, and all they did was talk about Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. That's all they talked about. So the entire defense spends all week worrying about Derrick Henry, and that allows, I think, if you put him and Spears on the field at the same time, they're not going to be as worried about Spears as they should be. I think as far as five eligible pass catchers, there's no doubt in my mind that between Hopkins, Henry, and Spears, nobody else is in the ballpark with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Miami game, look at the last two series, who's the most impressive person on the field at the time? It was Spears.
Well, I thought it was Levis. But
I mean, Levis made some good throws, but just speed-wise, it looked like he was at the third gear, while the other team was at their first. So if you're watching him, he hits the hole fast. He's explosive. He can catch the ball, and he does so many things like a McCaffrey. Just like what Derek said, he's not a McCaffrey, but he's explosive like McCaffrey.
Okay. Chig.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
This guy right here.
No.
But bring it. But bring in a. You're gonna have Wiley.
So that he can,
bring
yes.
in another veteran tight end. Yes.
Like a real tight end.
Yes. That's what
like
I'm
not
saying.
Like
yeah.
Michael Roan. Like no. a real.
If they no, if
tight
they would have kept, if they would have kept what you called it from last year,
Hooper,
that would have been.
You hated. Yeah. Yes.
No, but no, I hated it at the beginning. But what happened?
I
changed. I said, listen, if you show me that I need to change my opinion about you, I will change my opinion about you. And he showed that I should change my opinion. I did.
Let me say this.
He said Michael Roan.
For everybody that
leave Roan alone, man.
For everybody out there that thinks
they're gonna talk about my boy,
that he can be a starting tight end.
He is, man.
Did you watch Sam Laporta last night on the Lions? That is a starting tight end.
Well, that's the first round. That's your first round.
He gets
round.
A lot second of opportunities. He gets a lot of opportunities also.
I mean, look at the offense.
Chicks
that
got
in.
Plenty of opportunities. Dude, he didn't catch them. And he would have had more opportunities
okay,
if he had caught them because they would have gotten first downs
You say the same thing with Burks, right? How many opportunities he had all season?
Burks.
How many opportunities? He has 21 attempts.
I mean, Burks is a different discussion.
No,
than
no,
Chig,
I'm just saying.
Burks gets hurt.
But it's the
Chig
same. It's the same
principle,
though. The
one thing I'll give Chig is that Chig never gets hurt, but Chig can't catch and he can't block. He is the number two tight end for me next year. I cannot go along. This idea of him being a starter next year makes me sick.
You make him a starter, bring you in a veteran guy that has proven his worth in this league. And
I'll tell you, there's a tight end. Like, and I'm not, again, you know, talking about the draft or what happens or whatever, because I don't know who's going to be on the board and who they're going to get in free agency or anything like that. But if there's like a starting tight end available in there, I'm taking him. Because I'm not. Chig, you guys, you have Chig. He's a backup. Okay. I guess I have to give him a check mark because it's majority
yes,
rules. And
exactly.
These two think Chig can start in the NFL.
He can.
It's gracious.
He's starting in the NFL now.
Exactly.
And he sucks.
Oh, my gosh.
DeAndre Hopkins,
guy,
I think we
man.
All say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Treylon Burks.
Yes. I'm yes. Somebody said no. You ain't even got to ask me twice. Yes.
I say yes.
What's the number one ability in the NFL?
Availability. I know that.
What's he struggle with?
Yeah.
Being available.
But it's
not he's not a repeat offender.
It's
let's
not,
say that.
But it's been 2 years of injuries.
Yeah,
there have been some drop passes in there. Uh-huh. I think the Titans need to get another starting receiver, a big, young, fast, playmaking receiver to go opposite DeAndre.
Let me ask you a question, D-Mace. How many drops have you had? He had two drops.
No, he's had more than that. He had two drops in the Browns game.
He had
a drop against
you don't
the
know what no how they consider drops.
He had two
what
drops.
You may think is a drop,
yes,
may not, they
exactly.
may not count as a drop.
If the ball hits you in the
hand,
but
that's one.
They traded A.J. Brown for
dude,
you. You should
drop,
be able to catch the freaking ball.
21 targets,
okay, so listen.
21 targets.
If I'm standing right here and over there are two people arguing, both of them look like idiots. I don't know who the idiot is, so I'm not going to even argue. If that's what you want to say, then so be it. I'm not calling you an idiot.
I can't put him as a starter next year.
You were just bragging.
I'm not
going to
argue
with
that.
With the same
you were just
guys
bragging
about
him on camp, and camp was bragging about him.
We should put Dillard on the list. Do we think they should bring Dillard back next year to start? That's what I feel like
on,
I'm
man.
Talking to. The Titans went into the year
this
banging
guy.
On Chig and Burks, and it has blown up in their face, and you guys want to bring them back to start?
I would bring Burks back.
And Chig.
I would, too.
Oh, God. To start.
1,000.
Not to be the third or fourth guy who, if he pops next year, great. But I'm not relying on these guys going into next year.
I got to rely. I mean, I'm going to rely on my receiver that I drafted in the first round.
Absolutely.
That I need to get more opportunities to.
Then if I'll rely on my right tackle I drafted in the second round, Dillon Raidens. Let's see how that works out.
Well,
now,
Dillon Raidens hadn't proven.
He stinks. I know.
He hadn't proven.
That's why
that,
I'm not relying on him.
But no, give me my receiver for next year. Listen, I will not come off the Treylon Burks hill until the team prove that they are going to make him a part of the offense.
Okay.
If you're not going to make him a part of the offense, I can't evaluate him as a player.
If you're sitting there with the eighth overall pick in the draft, mm-hmm. and you've got an absolute dog that is sitting there on the board, whether it's Neighbors at LSU, whether it's Adunze at Washington, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, just one of these studs, do you pass on it because you have Burks?
Okay, I got to answer this question from this standpoint. A dude from Washington, I may not touch him. I may not touch him for this reason. it's just a wide open offense. Nobody plays coverage in front of you. Nobody jumps
and
up.
They don't get
so
jammed.
I need to really see. That's why I like looking at these guys in the offseason and really studying, because if I'm just looking at their numbers, it's like, okay, yeah, all of them deserve to be first rounders, but all the numbers are not created equal for me. But if I am in that position, and say a Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, I'm taking him not because I don't think Treylon Burks can play, but because I know DeAndre Hopkins only got 1 year, and I need me two stud receiver for this young quarterback moving forward after Hop isn't on contract anymore. So it has nothing to do with Treylon Burks. It has everything to do with DeAndre Hopkins, knowing that he won't be here past next year.
Yep.
That's why I'm getting him.
And he's still young, man. He's still a young kid.
So –
you know, so I mean, I would definitely bring him back because there's some potential there. There's some
bring him back to start.
I would bring him back to start.
He have to earn. He have to earn.
Yeah,
the starting.
I'm not going to put him in.
But
yeah,
he will be penciled
absolutely,
in as 1,000. The starter. But if a rookie comes in and I'll play him, then the rookie
then
starts.
The third, absolutely.
Yeah, so
yeah, you guys are going to stink next year with PT and Burks.
I don't want. I mean, let it. Okay, again,
this guy.
You put PT over there. And you bring in another veteran right tackle.
Okay.
And you let him battle it out.
Yes, that I can do.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm saying.
The
you let him battle
right tackle.
Exactly.
Right
and
tackle
if he
PT
beats
won.
Him out, then he beats him out.
Absolutely. What about Moore and Nick Westbrook Akine? Both are free agents. Would you
I'm
bring them back?
Moore
and
back.
The role they're in
I'm bringing
right now.
I'm bringing them both back.
I'm bringing definitely Moore back.
NWR has just been consistent the whole
but
time.
But see.
They need to do better than NWI in that spot.
I like NWI, but I don't want them to get comfortable with NWI. I want them to say, you know what, let's push ourselves and see if we can find – we may sign him back to
sure.
a one-year deal. Yeah.
Just
but
like
if somebody
did.
Else
let
beat
him
out, yeah.
Year,
if somebody else
let it,
if somebody else beats him out, then okay.
But, he's
but I like them both.
Yeah. He's reliable.
I like them both.
Look at all them cats they bring in, like Woods and all them cats to try to take his position. Mm-hmm. He consistently, you know, overcomes what they do. So I would bring
Woods
him back.
I think the team in receiving last year. I said Woods led
that
the team in receiving last year.
Yeah, but he's still there.
NWI was on that team.
I think Chris and I could have went out there and led the team in receiving.
There may be some truth in that. All right, coming up next, the defense. Side of the ball, a shocking development on Friday, and Mike Vrabel's PR blitz after the fact. We'll get to that coming up next. It's the award-winning pregame show live from Texas Tavern downtown on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's go inside the playbook on defense, and let's start with the shocking news Friday that the Titans were moving on from Tyrre Tart. So Tyrre Tart doesn't practice for personal reasons. During the course of the week, which is normally means like somebody's having a baby or somebody's about to die or something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't practice for personal reasons. Clearly it was he's got issues with the team. Mm-hmm. So then they on Friday announced that he'll be out for the game. Mm-hmm. Then Paul Kaharsky reports at 1 o'clock that the Titans are moving on from Tyrre Tart. Then I have it on pretty good authority. Mike Vrabel went on a PR blitz Friday night. Trying to ensure that people understood why the Titans tried to make the decision they made, and I think it manifested itself in a tweet from Paul Kaharsky, where he said that the Titans teammates had no respect for Burks.
What?
Burks.
Tart. Then they released him yesterday. I mean, guys. Not to say that Tyrre Tart's attitude couldn't have been a problem. This is a guy, though, who was a former offseason player of the year for this team. This is a guy who for 3 years, for the most part, had, you know, acted the way he was supposed to act, who we all know that when he's got, you know, his mind, he can be a good player in the NFL. What happened here? And how much of a mark on Vrabel is this? Because it's one thing when one guy doesn't listen to the coach. But we got issues this year with Fulton. Issues this year with Monty Rice. Issue this year now with Tart. I mean, what do we make of this situation?
Oh, man, it's unfortunate because I try to see both sides in situations because we can so easily, you know, jump on Tyrre Tart for some of the things that I'm hearing.
Which I think is what Vrabel's trying to get everybody to do.
And it's one thing, you can be on the side of the coaches, but then you got to understand, man, that players go out here and they give it their all.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how did you go from being so high on this guy to now just cutting him you know, when your best player isn't there and available in Simmons. So to me, I think sometimes guys get in a situation where they figure, I've worked this hard, I've done everything that I could possibly do, but y'all are not rewarding me for it. It doesn't even seem as if y'all will reward me for it.
Absolutely.
So you get disgruntled, and it takes everything in you to come to work. And I tell this story to people all the time because I understand. I was in tier tart situation as far as, you know, knowing you have the ability to go out there and play, but you just – things just wasn't going the way you thought it should.
You're talking about prior to 2000.
Yeah, prior to 2000. And I remember Chris pulled me to the side and said, man, listen, you can't allow them – I know what's going on, but you can't allow them to steal your joy. Come to practice every day. Have fun. Yep. Work hard, because then, you know, eventually, you know, it'll work out for you.
Yep.
And – after that, I went to work. It wasn't always perfect, but my mindset walking into that building was, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying the fellas. I'm going out to practice. I'm having a good time. I'm going to give it my all. And then allow the chips to fall where they may. The one thing they were not going to say about me is, oh, he was disgruntled, and look how he's practicing. Yeah. He's not working hard. He's not doing the things he's supposed to do. No, I changed the narrative. You wasn't going to set the narrative on me. And it was in part because of him.
I
don't know if he had somebody to pull him to the side and say, dude, you are messing up a huge opportunity. But I understand. You got to explain it to a guy. You got to explain it to guys like this. I understand where you're coming from. You know, I understand that you've been working hard and that you're upset that they won't reward you for it. But still go out there and do your job. Have fun. Because if you don't, you play right into their hands.
Here's what I don't understand as far as the NFL is concerned, right?
Very good
Tart was a starter on this team. You know, in your case, you weren't getting playing time.
No.
Until people got hurt, then you got your playing time, then you made the Pro Bowl. Nobody ever talked about you again. But, like, he was getting playing time.
Yes.
He was a starter on this team on first and second down. Why would he be disgruntled? I mean,
he wanted a contract.
Right.
He wanted the contract. And I don't think
so
they were going to give him the contract.
So play well. Go into free agency.
But he's been playing well, though.
Get your contract.
Yeah.
And you're good, right? Isn't that how the NFL works?
It is. Yeah. But if you and your representative –
my guess is he wanted to play on third down to sack the quarterback, and they wouldn't let him play on third down to sack the quarterback.
There could be a possibility. I'm not saying it's true or it's not true. But what I am gathering and what I'm hearing is that, hey, listen, he was just disgruntled about the contract situation, that they were not intending on, I believe, signing him. And he was upset. He wanted to be here, and he felt he did everything necessary to warrant another contract from this team. And they were not going to do that.
Yeah, and I want to switch to the Monty Rice thing. I think his situation is a little different. They made it easy for him to cut him, because if you watch on the sidelines, you want to be a team player. You want to be involved. And TD was telling me he was watching on the sidelines to where the defense was huddled up and Monty Rice was on the other side. So for that situation, they made it easy for him to get cut because you're not involved in what they're doing. Now you got, you know, what's that guy's? I forgot his name.
Tia Tart?
Yeah, Tart. I mean, you got a situation with Tart to where he's upset, and maybe nobody's there to see what he's doing in practice. But don't make it easy for them to cut you.
Here's the problem.
Don't make it easy.
And we talked about, you know, different guys that would we go into the offseason with them as starters for next year, using Petit Frere as an example, or Chig or somebody like that. They went into this year with three guys that they had pinned in as starters in Monty Rice, Fulton, and Tart.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, isn't it the coach's job? Like, isn't it the coach's job to get through to those guys, to get them on the right page? If you're counting on them, like in the case of Monty Rice, they were counting on him to the point that they didn't go add a second inside backer outside of Aziz to replace Jayon Brown. They didn't go out and replace David Long.
Yeah.
They didn't go replace Jayon Brown or whoever else was supposed to be the inside backer last year. They didn't replace him because they thought Monty Rice could do it. And then Monty Rice couldn't do it, so now you're stuck with Jack Gibbons, who can't even get to the edge on Tua. Like, I can get to the edge on Tua. He can't even get to the edge on Tua.
Yeah.
So now you're really hurting yourself. And Gibbons has hurt the team this year, not by anything that he did. He's just too slow.
Yeah.
And it's been a problem all year. At some point, isn't it on the coach to get through to the players? If not, what is the point of the coach?
I think that's a great point you make, and I'm going to talk about a coach that I really respect, and it's Sherman Smith.
Sherman who was Smith, the wide receivers coach when you played with the Titans?
No, he was the running backs coach.
Running backs coach.
And then Les Steckel. Me and Les Steckel and Sherman Smith had a relationship. Mm-hmm. So if he saw me not practicing hard, he's going to pull me aside and say, okay, Chris, what the heck is going on? And he would explain to me, and I would explain to him, coach, I got my contract situation going on. But he would tell me, because I have a relationship with him, you got to play hard and don't make it easy for them to cut you. So I agree with you 100% that the coach has to make sure that he talks to this kid. But in actuality, did this coach talk to Tart? I don't know. So we just don't know. So maybe that's the situation.
I think there's this three-part, you know, blame here or three-part responsibility. Obviously, the first is the guy, the actual player. You got a job, you're a task to do. Go out there and do your job. But yep, I understand yep. It gets hard and you get disappointed or frustrated. I get it. So then here comes the coach, the head coach, or your position coach. Then they got to, you know, sit you down and say, hey, listen, I know what they're saying in a room about you. You need to go out there and practice. You need to give it your all no mm-hmm. matter what. So if he, okay, so he's done his part. And then that's where the veteran leaders come in.
Yep.
Dude, pull you to the side. Dude, you're dogging it, man. Mm-hmm. You're not giving it all, y'all. It may be hard to hear from a player, another sure. player, but it's the truth because they're right next to you. They have no other motive but to see you prosper and that defense prosper.
Yeah, they're not on their side trying to move on. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'll say this, truth hurts.
Yeah, exactly. It does. But if you're willing to, if it's constructive criticism and it's done from a place of love, you will recognize and you will say, okay, you're absolutely, like Chris, he came to me in love. So, and it was like, okay, this is what I need to do.
Could I then not argue? I mean, I lumped this all together, right? Like with Fulton, for instance, he was hurting the team early in the year with his selfish looking in the backfield, trying to jump a pass. Like,
and he was thinking about money.
Right. At some point, if they can't get through to these guys, isn't that on the structure of the organization, whether they don't have the right assistant coaches in there, whether they don't have the right leaders in there, and that ultimately falls on the head coach for not – getting that.
I do not think
Vrabel is blameless in this. And I think Vrabel's going on a PR blitz to try to act like not my fault. He was the problem. And I have a problem with that.
Well, we will never know. Like, you're right. There's blame to go around. From what I'm understanding, Tier Tart was dogging it in practice and stuff. Well, that's Tier Tart's fault. He needs to,
absolutely.
You know, when he step out on the field, 100% put all that other stuff aside because now I'm working for you and you.
Yep.
I'm not. This ain't for the coach. This is for my brothers next to me.
Sure.
But then it's the head coaches or the position coaches' responsibility to make sure that you check in with this guy. Like, dude, you got a great opportunity here. Don't waste it. Please don't.
And you remember that wide receiver, was it Daryl Hall? Remember tall kid that ran a 4.3?
Yeah, Illinois. Where is it from? Illinois State or Southern Illinois?
He can
Northern
run.
Southern Illinois.
And he was in the same situation. Yes. He was mad at the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, man, I think, I don't know if you told him.
Yeah,
we talked
to him.
He said, man, if you keep getting mad at the coach, you're going to get in the game and you're going to mess up. What happens? We out there hurt. He gets in the game. He goes against the Green Bay Packers and he drops two touchdown passes. Because he was mad at the coach.
Exactly.
So I agree with you, Derek. We got a player but also a coach that has a relationship. You got to have a relationship with him to sit him down and say, okay, this is what you need to do as opposed to getting mad. Because we do get mad. We do want to get paid. So we can't just blame it on, okay, it's just a coach. Sometimes we as athletes get angry.
Yeah.
They don't think we have feelings. And we need to
walk around like robots.
We ain't want to get paid. People, you know, he wants to get paid.
But what it boils down to is, listen – you are in this sport, damn everything else. I understand the Super Bowls and the winning, but you're in this sport to make a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And make a lot of money in a short period of time that's going to hopefully, you know, take care of you and your family for many, many years. Mm. That's what you're in it
absolutely,
for,
yeah.
you know, ultimately. But then the other byproducts and everything else is the winning, the friendships, the endorsements, or being known around the town. That comes with it, but you ain't playing this game. As much as I love playing football, I would have never played it for free.
Nah.
The ones I got to an age, I would never play it for free. I play it for free when I'm, you know, 12, 13, 15, 18.
Well, it's going to sound crazy. That's how I feel about my job. Uh-huh. Where, like, I mean, I would argue with you guys about the Titans every day. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to do it for free.
Exactly.
Like, exactly. I mean, like, and so, I could, you guys know me, like, you, like, what's on the radio is, like, me. Uh-huh. Like, that's not, I don't have to do anything special to get on the radio. But I'm not going to do it for free.
Exactly. Huh? But so why does the fans think that we got to do it for free?
No, I'm not saying that they got to do it for free. Saying, but then, I am saying at the same time, what I'm shocked by with Tart, and this could be where I do put the blame on Tart, and I don't think Tart's blameless.
I don't think he's blameless.
When I'm saying that Vrabel, you know, that this is, I got a problem with Vrabel on this, I'm not saying Tart's blameless, but what I do think is like, he's got Drew Rosenhaus as his agent. Drew Rosenhaus knows how the NFL works. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, he knows that if you don't show up, like, you won't get paid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you show up, even if your team doesn't want to pay you, somebody will pay you. He knows that. And he knows how to tell Tart, like, hey, man, you still got to give it your all because we'll get you paid in the offseason. The second thing, not that I'd ever have Drew Rosenhaus as my agent, but that's different. But he's got Rosenhaus as his agent. Mm-hmm. He's got a coach who's played in the NFL. He's got defensive linemen who've all gotten paid before that are a veteran guys. And he still can't show up to play hard in the games?
That's where it comes a friend.
Like, yeah. Dude, this is how you feed your family, bro.
Yeah, and sometimes your anger or your displeasure can blind you from what you're talking about, Jared. Mm-hmm. Like, ultimately, I need to do this because I want to be able to set up my family for Absolutely. Years to come. But sometimes you get so just angry, you know, that you lose sight of all of that. And I would beg to say he lost sight of that because he was so angry about his contract situation,
Absolutely.
And which has now put him in a position where he's looking for another team. He's going to find another team.
Well, here's the problem, though, is by the Titans releasing him the way they have, and Vrabel, again, I think, mm-hmm. trying to pin a narrative that he had no respect of his teammates and everything else, man. I don't think that's going to play well in free agency.
Oh, somebody else going to pick him up.
They're going to, but not, you know, and he just minded his business and played out through the end of the year. He probably would have gotten a much better contract than he's going to get now because the book is that he's a malcontent.
I don't think that's fair, and this is just my opinion, for Mike Vrabel to label him like that. I don't think it's fair because the situation, I'm going to give you a perfect situation, Kevin Carter. Everybody said he was lazy. Everybody said he couldn't do that. When he came to practice, that dude worked hard from start to finish. He was a great locker room guy, so – even though you may be disgruntled, this and that, don't go pin something on some on a guy that maybe not be true. So I
but it's a narrative that one side or the other needs to push. Because
that's how Vrabel is. Vrabel cares what everybody says. Yeah. No matter how much he says he doesn't, he cares.
I guarantee you, when Rosenhaus comes out and he presents it, it's going to be something totally different.
Absolutely.
Here are our inactives for today. C.J. Stroud out today for the Texans. Wide receiver Nico Collins, who is very good. Corner Chris Boyd. Running back Mike Boone.
What?
A couple years ago when Derrick Henry got hurt, somebody like called into the midday show and said that they should get Mike Boone. I said, who the hell is Mike Boone? Defensive end Will Anderson Jr. is out.
Wow.
Linebacker, that'll make Dylan Raiden's life a lot easier. Linebacker Blake Cashman and tackle George Fant.
Fant is gone?
Well, be looking, you know, he has been a good right tackle for them. Harold Landry, you know, is getting hot. And that may be a big step in the right direction for the Titans. Malik Willis, Kyle Phillips, Josh Wiley, Jeffrey Simmons, Travis Gibson, Caleb Murphy, and Mike Brown, whoever the hell that is.
Why is Kyle Phillips out there?
Because Mason Kinsey's active.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there it is.
And you like Kinsey, so you can't be mad about that. TD will join us from the stadium. We will do that next. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live at Teddy's Tavern here downtown, our spot for the home game for the award-winning pregame shows. 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys from open until 2 p.m. every Sunday, and 2-for-1 draft beers all day every Sunday. Come on out to Teddy's Tavern, where, of course, you can check on the Titans and the Texans and all other games from the second floor lounge and rooftop. Teron Davenport is live at Nissan Stadium, where the Titans are getting set to take on the Texans. TD is presented by Beast Unleashed. Zero sugar. With all the adult beverage fun. TD, let's start there with the Titans and the surprising move of Tyrre Tart. We had known that there had been some talk before about Tart, but were you surprised on Friday when the Titans decided to waive Tyrre Tart?
You know, honestly, I wasn't really surprised because this is something that has been brewing over time. He was obviously not happy about not getting a long-term deal, and then you roll that into the lack of snaps. So he was upset, and, I mean, you saw at times effort issues in practice, and then, look, man, the Miami game, it definitely showed. So that was a breaking point. They said, you got to go.
TD, you know the coaching staff. You know the players. You know Tier Tart himself. I have a hard time understanding why Tier Tart's effort would be so low, given the fact that in the NFL as a pending free agent, if he played well for the Titans, that would have meant that he could have gotten another deal with another team. And there's veteran free agents that have come to the Titans, like a Danico Autry or a Harold Landry, who played in a contract year, and he got paid by the Titans. And I'm surprised that that didn't get through. You know Tier Tart. Were you surprised that throughout the course of the year that didn't get through?
Yeah, I was surprised, because knowing T and just, you know, the stuff that he's been through growing up, I figured that he would. So Chris Sanders, he has a saying, right? You either get bitter or you get better. Mm-hmm. And I really just felt that as far as, like, circumstance that he's faced in the past, I thought that he would just get better and not get bitter. You know what I mean? But that, unfortunately for his case and for the Titans' case, that wasn't the issue, you know. And it's unfortunate, because, you know, this is a guy, he's a very, very good run stuffer. He's someone that worked on his pass rush moves. You know, he developed that swim move, and it's really outstanding, but it just it's not getting it. And, you know, this is where we are.
Now, do you think with Tier Tart that it just became noticeable? They had to make the move because it became noticeable inside the locker room with the other players. Yeah. I think do you believe that's why they then had to make the move to release him?
No, that's absolutely the case, D Mace. Oh, look, we got bars right there. That's really the situation. I mean, it became noticeable, right? And then, like I said, and just that little bit of individual period that we get, start to see just, you know, the lack of effort. And, I mean, look, you got Jeffrey Simmons going hard every single rep. And it's like, okay, if you point to him going hard and then you point to Tier Tart not, it's an issue, right? And so it's something that has to be addressed. And, you know, the accountability side of things, that's what it was.
Now, this week, obviously, you know, a lot of talk was about Treylon Burks and, you know, him not being as involved in the offense. I heard some of the, you know, answers that Vrabel gave, which, you know, if you're going to answer it that way, man, please don't even answer it at all. But do you feel that they're going to get him involved in the game this week?
Yeah, you know what's so crazy? Last week, right, the first couple plays of the game, like, they made an effort to get Treylon Burks the football, you know, and it's just – it's unfortunate that he's not getting more targets. And I had asked, you know, going into that game about just the importance of getting a receiver involved early and getting him to check in, so to speak, as opposed to, you know, dialing out. And that's something that Trey, he said that, you know, that's not what he does, right? But at the same time, it's just like, man, you got to – he's so talented. You got to get him the football and find a way to get touches. And, you know, Mike Vrabel, he said that a lot of times it was the coverage. You know, he was running through and taking the covers with him for Hopkins underneath or another player. Look, man, covers isn't going with Treylon Burks and leaving DeAndre Hopkins open. You know, so I don't necessarily believe that fully to be the case, you know, but – they just have to find ways to get him the ball and call more plays where he's that first read. You know what I mean? And get him the football, man, because he needs the touches. He's productive when he gets them.
You know, TD, in 2021, Derrick Henry had 34 catches for 250 yards. In 2022, he had 219 yards and 32 carries. Do you think we can see a repeat performance like that because he consistently thrashes the Texans?
Well, I mean – maybe he'll channel his inner DeAndre Hopkins like he did last week and make some catches. But no, all jokes aside, I think this could be a game where, you know, he gets the touches. It's one of those ones where if they could get up early, you know, and just kind of like salt the game away and just keep giving them the rock, that would be a good idea. But, I mean, look, there's no telling. This team is so erratic, and even the play calling, like, there's no telling, you know, which direction they're going to go. But, I mean, like, if it were me, I'm giving the ball to the John Deere tractor over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, you know, the Texans have a good defensive line. They got Grignard and Collins. Grignard has 10 sacks. Collins has 3 sacks. What does the offensive line have to do to keep them cats from exploiting them getting to the quarterback?
Say that one more time. I missed you over the say it one more time.
No, I said you Grignard. The Texans have a good defensive front. They have Grignard and Collins. Grignard has 10 sacks and Collins has 3 sacks.
Yeah.
What does the offensive line have to do from letting them guys get off and teeing off on Will Levis?
Yeah, you know, Jonathan Grignard is the guy. We had him on Talking with TD, and he got that get off, you know. So I think really it's just going to make sure that they could just ride him, right, and get that interior part of it protected so Levis could step up and deliver the ball down the field. That's the main thing. Can't let him get off that edge and do what he does, man. Because like I said, the get off is crazy. But he does have, like, I tell you, he reminds me, if you guys remember Elvis Dumervil, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That ability from to Louisville. Get that leverage.
Oh,
you know, he's, here we go. But he just has, like, that ability to just get that leverage, right, and get up underneath a tackle and drive him back that way. Whereas you wouldn't think that he could do that, but he's because he's smaller. But, you know, it's a game of leverage.
TD, when it comes to Will Levis, you know, we all remember the draft night and the embarrassment that he must have felt that night. It was very Aaron Rodgers-esque. But one team that he had spent time around significantly was the Texans. And, you know, Dan Graziano, your colleague at ESPN, said that there were people inside the Texans building who actually preferred Levis over Stroud. Do you ever get the sense from Levis that when he plays teams like the Colts or the Texans, that he takes it personally that they didn't pick him?
Look, he'll tell us he doesn't really, but he does. Trust, because he's a person, right? Like, mm-hmm. I would take it personally myself. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, you know, he has every right to take it personally, but he's not going to really come out and say it. I mean, you saw it against the Colts, right? Because that was really the team that was, you know, funneled into picking him. That was the thought process that they were going to. So, yeah, I mean, he takes it personal. I mean, just like any other athlete, right? You know, you're gonna find any little inner way to get extra motivation, and I would assume that is the case with him.
Hey, hey, TD.
Here comes the weekly Yo Mama joke.
I was watching NFL on CBS, and you know, me and my daughter's kind of watching it, and this guy that was sitting up the front. And my daughter was like, hey, baby, is that TD? I said, baby, no, that's Greg Gumbel.
What? How you doing, family? Appreciate you. See, that joke was so bad.
It's so bad you ain't even here.
Oh, well, look, check this out. And, Jerry, you'll appreciate this. Jerry. I was watching, look, I for some reason, I said, I'm going to watch the old Atlanta Braves film, right? So I'm sitting there with my girl, and we're watching, and this dude was running the base pass really fast, and she remembered how I always you and say speed kills, right? And she was like, is that the dude that you're talking about that says speed kills that you do the show with? I say, hey, baby, no, that ain't Chris Sanders, that's Otis Nixon.
Oh, my God. When you said that, I knew he was going Otis Nixon.
Oh, my
Otis Nixon
goodness.
Is one of the ugliest people I have ever seen in my entire life. And Chris is right there with him. Good job, TD. TD is presented, as always, by the Beast Unleashed. Dude, Otis Nixon.
Oh, wow.
You Googled him, didn't you?
No, I know who Otis Nixon is.
That's cold,
hey, Otis Nixon back in the day used to be freaking bad. Like, he was a bad boy. But, y'all man, cold. Was he ugly.
Wow, Chris.
No.
Wow. You got to go into your books, man. You got to go into the annals and start picking out people.
He looked like Greg Gumbel, though, man.
Coming up next, our picks to click. Who's got to click today for a Titans
crazy,
victory?
Golly.
And much more live from Teddy's Tavern. Again, that's our home for the award-winning pregame show, where, once again, just steps from the Ryman and Bridgestone Arena and a couple of blocks away from the pedestrian bridge. I'll be honest with you. I do the show here every week, walk right across the bridge over to the stadium, and I am in there before kickoff. And next year, they will not have parking on that side of the stadium, so everyone's going to be looking for a spot downtown. Let me tell you, Teddy's Tavern is the spot you want to be, the best burger downtown, and they experience Tinsel at Teddy's holiday pop-up rooftop bar with heated outdoor space, specialty cocktails, and endless photo opportunities, and a scenic view of downtown. The pregame show continues, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
This is NFL Pregame, and it's time for Jared Stillman and former NFL wide receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders to make their picks to click.
Bring it on, Chop. Let's go.
Brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Picks to click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment on the award-winning Pregame show. Who is going to click today for a Titans victory? Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
You go first.
I'm going to go with Treylon Burks. And the reason I'm going with Treylon Burks, I think he's going to have a big game because everybody during the week has been talking about, you know, Treylon Burks struggling. He's not getting attempts and all this stuff. And I think Tim Kelly is going to try to figure out a way to get him the ball early.
Oh, man, my pick to click.
Do you think he's going to try, Tim Kelly's going to try to get him the ball early?
He's going to make a statement to try to get him the ball early.
There's been a lot of talk around.
I think he will. I think Burks. He will try to get him involved in the offense very early. But my pick to click this week is Tajay Spears. I think what he showed last week catching the football, what he showed in previous weeks running the football, they're going to try to put all of that together this game. Not taking away from Derrick Henry. But I think because of the way he's been able to run the football and because of the way he's been able to be a factor positive from a positive standpoint in offense, he's going to be that guy that generates not only yardage running the football, but generates yardage catching the football. So Tajay Spears is my tip.
Let's go. Hey, Tajay Spears played great on Monday night. I can't believe you guys missed the most obvious pick to click in this game. DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, was it personal to you when you were with the Ravens? You came back, played the Titans for the first time?
Oh, of course.
Was it personal to A.J. Brown last year when he took the towel out and spanked the goalpost?
Uh-huh.
It's personal. And so I think we talk about Tim Kelly wanting to get the ball to Treylon Burks. I think Tim Kelly's been waiting for this opportunity for a while. I think this game is personal. I think it is personal to ownership because of how Bud Adams got kicked out of Houston. I think it is personal to Will Levis because of how the Texans didn't draft him and they drafted C.J. Stroud instead. I think it's personal to Tim Kelly, who got fired by the Texans. And I think it is personal to DeAndre Hopkins, who got cast off as a malcontent, sent out of town by Bill O'Brien. The owner has to approve it. And sent to Arizona. He still lives in Houston. I think a game like this matters. I think this is one of those games where that kind of wide receiver goes up to the quarterback and says, hey, man, it's Houston this week. Get me the ball. But and DeAndre Hopkins is going to get the ball today.
If he does that, then you may have the numbers, but you may end up losing a game in the process. You know, so they got to play within the framework of the game. But also, you know, just run their offense. And if the game comes to D-Hop, allow it to come to D-Hop. But I'm sure – Houston is thinking the same thing that D-Hop is thinking or the Titans are thinking. They're going to try to get him – well, they're going to try to take him away very early and force him to go to everybody
else. You mean like the Titans took away A.J. Brown last year in Philly when they put Trey Avery on him one-on-one?
They didn't even try to take him away. They didn't try to take him away. I don't think you – well, one, Hop isn't A.J. in the sense of he has the speed and explosiveness of an A.J. Brown. But I can't see –
But if they single
Ryan's
up
doing
if they single up D-Hop with Trey Avery, D-Hop will go crazy too.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. You know?
So they have Derek Stingley who could play one way or another.
Yeah.
Defensive pick to click. Who's got a click today, Chris Sanders?
I'm going D'Amico Autry. The reason I'm going him, you got Simmons out. You got Tart that's gone. So he's going to probably get some double teams. So I think for them to put pressure on the quarterback, I know Landry had 3 sacks last week. But I think Autry has to play big in this game. He's got to make sure he gets out of the quarterback. Autry's my guy.
To me, it's – I just think it's the linebacker core. They got to find a way.
You're banking on Gibbons?
I'm just saying, whether it's
– why don't you pick Elijah Molden to click?
No. Whether it's Harold Landry or Arden Key.
Get the outside backers.
Those guys. I said linebackers, period. I said linebackers. You can't tell me what I get. Linebackers. linebackers are my pick to click because they got to put pressure on the veteran quarterback that isn't able to move as well as the younger quarterbacks that were starting prior to the injuries.
I'm going with Harold Landry. I'll tell you what now. George Fant is out today, their right tackle, which means they'll have a backup right tackle in there against Harold Landry. And I expected Harold Landry to have a hard time coming back off the ACL because we've seen that with guys. And I mean, at the time of the summer where people were talking about the defensive line and getting Landry back, I was watching, you know, the Atlanta Braves play. And the Braves have one of the best players in the game in Acuna. And the year before, he wasn't as good coming off of a torn ACL. It is obvious to me that an ACL, you may be back, you know, 8 months after the ACL, but you're not back 8 months off the ACL. It takes time. I think Landry has kind of crossed the threshold to where he's back now. So Landry's back, plus a backup right tackle, plus a statue in Case Keenum at quarterback. I think Landry could have another two-sack performance. Three sacks is too much to ask for. I think he could have a two-sack performance today. I'm banking on Harold Landry.
Well, I mean, I can see why. And this is what I...
But I don't need any other linebackers. Yeah. I'll just go with him.
But this is what I anticipated from Harold Landry, that because of the ACL, he was going to start off very slow, which he did.
Yep.
And then sort of pick up as he started to get more comfortable with that injury or coming back off the injury. So now he's playing a little bit faster, and when you play fast, you fall into things. He fell into a few sacks, just because he was around the football. He needs to continue to do that. So that's a good pick.
And he looks more explosive, and he doesn't look tentative. When he first started playing the beginning of the season, he looked really tentative. But now he's more explosive. He's coming off the edge with that bend that he needs, to get to the quarterback. So I think that's a great pick with Case Keenum, like he's a statue back there.
Those are our picks to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. So I've got a question for you two.
What you said?
Which is, knowing what we know now, C.J. Stroud is going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award in the NFL, regardless of if he takes another snap this season. But the Titans desperately wanted C.J. Stroud. Now, look, last week when they played the Jets before he got hurt and Nico Collins wasn't in there and Tank Dell wasn't in there and Dalton Schultz wasn't in there, he was like 6 of 21 for 96 yards or something like that. I mean, he was awful without his receivers last week against the Jets. But we know how bad the Titans wanted him. Why the Titans told everybody how bad they wanted him, that's their business, not mine. But Houston saw that, decided to take Stroud so that the Titans couldn't get him, and then traded up for Will Anderson with the next pick. Knowing what we know now, assuming the Titans would have had to probably give up what? This year's first, next year's first, and maybe this year's second in order to move up to take Will Levis at the third spot, or to take C.J. Stroud at the third spot, do you think the Titans are better off with Levis and the picks that they didn't give up to take him than they would have been with the picks they would have given up to take Stroud?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. Because if you take C.J. Stroud, give up the pick to take C.J. Stroud, and if he's playing, just say he's playing for the Titans, he's playing the way he's playing for the Houston Texans, you have your quarterback for the next 15 years. Mm-hmm. So what you gave up is really nothing in the big scheme of things. So, but it didn't happen. But we need to see.
Could you have put that around him without the picks that you would have given up?
I think you still would have been able to put some talent around him, because you got to understand, the only talent that has, show anything this year is Tajay Spears and Wiley. Them the only two guys. Well, I mean, taking away Will Levis. But Will, you would have had your quarterback.
And I'm not even counting Wiley.
Yeah, you can have – but Wiley –
I can't count on him. He gets hurt too much.
Yeah, he gets hurt. But when he's in – he does good things. In what you're – he's doing the things you're asking him to do, okay? So you got him and Tajay Spears. Not many other guys outside that have done much of anything besides Will Levis. I don't count him because it would have been a one-for-one.
But next year's first-round pick, I think, is very important for the future of Will Levis, whether it's a receiver or an offensive lineman or something like that.
But then that's why, if you have your quarterback – just like,
And Skoronski counts in that mix because you were able to draft him with the first-round pick this year.
So – now you have your quarterback. Now you're going to the offseason. Now you can go out and and get players you think fits your offense and fits your quarterback. I think had they drafted C.J. Stroud and gave up those picks, yeah, they may have taken a step back, but I think in the long run, if you believe in this quarterback, in the long run, you would make up for it years down the line.
Do you think – I'm going to ask y'all this question.
In regards to personnel, bring the guys on.
Do you think C.J. Stroud would have been successful on this team? Or – I mean, you think it would have been – like, you know, he's been productive with the Texans, right? Mm-hmm. But say he came over here with this offensive line, do you think he would have been putting up the same numbers? See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
here's the question I'll ask you.
Yeah.
What if you switched him and Bryce Young? You put C.J. Stroud on that terrible Carolina team.
He would have no numbers.
And you put Bryce Young on this Texans team.
Oh, he'd be much – Bryce Young would be a much different quarterback.
Totally
you see
different.
What I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's Levis, Skoronski, and next year's first or C.J. Stroud. Had you kept your mouth shut and Houston thought that you weren't interested in Stroud or whatever.
You'd have still been able to go get D-Hop.
I think you might honestly be better off with Levis, Skoronski, and next year's one. I'm not a huge Stroud guy. I know he's playing really, really well. And I've been impressed, for sure. And I'm bummed out that we're not getting to see kind of the showdown at home between Levis and Stroud. Maybe we'll get it in 2 weeks when they play each other.
Right.
But I really think that for young quarterbacks that have success, I mean, you played with Mark Sanchez, right? He got to 2 AFC championship games. You know Mark Sanchez sucks. Like, you knew when you walked in there that he was terrible.
Not a good quarterback.
And so I think that for a young quarterback, you can kind of work it around the young quarterback when they're all young. But then once, you know, you have to pay the quarterback, then the quarterback has to kind of take it on his back a little bit. And I'm still skeptical that Stroud will be able to do that because he's never had to do that either in college or in the pros. He is a fantastic first-year quarterback,
weapons too,
though,
man.
For
he
sure.
He has some weapons, too.
That's my point. Tank Dell is a dog.
Nico
Collins and Dalton Schultz is – when we talk – you guys want to bring Chig back, and when I'm talking about a starting tight end in the NFL, that's what Dalton Schultz is.
It was three guys that I loved, like, loved coming out this year in the NFL draft. And all three of them are having major impacts on their team. Zay Flowers, who I wanted the Titans to draft. Oh, I wanted the Titans to draft.
Could you imagine if the Titans had drafted Zay Flowers instead of Skoronski?
Oh, they would have been so much more explosive.
Ooh. With Flowers, Spears, and DeAndre Hopkins.
And then
Skoronski plays guard. They could have figured out guard. You can't figure out receiver. Either you got receivers or you don't.
So you're talking about Zay Flowers, Downs, and Tank Dell. Those three guys are doing really good things for their respective teams. And had you got one of those guys, man, oh, man, it would have just been much different.
And we had a point. Pummel turned it, too.
Yeah, it would have just been so much different for this offense. So, I mean, I like C.J. Stroud, but – if you put him in the system with this offensive line, does he flourish the way he needs to flourish? You know,
where he's got a $30 million left tackle, a $20 million left guard, a $4 million right tackle, a $12 million right guard. I don't know if you guys have seen that. You don't have that.
Yeah, you don't.
Like on this, Raidens is playing right tackle on this team.
And you got a $4 million center.
Got a $4 million center, $4.3 million
center. Don't forget about Duncan.
So, again, yay or nay? Levis, Skoronski in next year's one or C.J. Stroud?
Give me C.J. Stroud.
I would have to go the other way.
Give me C.J. Stroud. Give me.
What do you mean by the other way?
I mean, the first one he said, Levis.
Levis, Skoronski in next year's one?
Yes.
I think I would go with Levis, Skoronski in next year's one, too.
I would go
coming out, I actually liked Will Levis more than C.J. Stroud. I went
understandable.
Anthony Richardson, number one. Bryce Young, number two. Although I always had concerns about his size, I don't think that what's happening in Carolina is Bryce Young's fault. No. Even though he'll get blamed for it, I don't think it's his fault at all. Levis 3, Stroud 4.
I had Bryce Young, Stroud, Levis, and then Richardson.
Oh, Richardson's such a dog. You guys are going to regret that.
No, I love. I mean, I like him. I really like Richardson. I like him. But as far as – to me, he was ahead of Richardson because he had played more snaps.
Sure.
Yep.
That's the only reason.
And Indianapolis keeps drawing up QB sweeps. They're going to get him killed. So, you know, make of that what you will. Mike Vrabel's key to a Titans victory, plus our game day predictions, all to come live from Teddy's Tavern. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Time now to take a look at Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory. By the way, it should be noted Mike Vrabel did show up in the bum Phillips hat today. I guess he said it in the locker room after the game. He got carried away saying that he might wear the hat because they're wearing the Oiler throwbacks. Then he got asked about it through the week, and he said, well, what if I just show up to the game wearing the hat? Vrabel can't wear that hat at kickoff, can he?
No.
Because if they lose, it's going to be like, hey, you don't want that. Mike Vrabel's key to a Titans victory, getting one at home.
Yeah, I think that's all, just trying to bring him in here a little bit later today and, excuse me, touch on the game briefly. But then, like you said, turn the page and, be excited about the opportunity to get back home, to be in the division. Try to build off of all the good things that we did and start our preparation and understand that just 1 week, and it was a big week for us, but there's another challenge ahead of us this week in the division. We gotta get a win in the division.
We know that this is a week-to-week league,
oh, man.
As seen by the Raiders scoring 0 points on Sunday and 62 points on Thursday. But how much can be carried over? And as former players, how important is it that they carry over the positivity from last week against Miami into this week against Houston so that they can have more positivity going towards the end of the season?
I think it is important. I think you got to look at what you're able to do well against your prior opponent and the things that you struggled at. Then you go and you figure, okay, can we do some of these things against a defense that is depleted of some of their playmakers? So I don't think you can go out there and go against what you normally do. Like, this is a run-based team. Everything starts with Derrick Henry.
I will say this. If you don't go out there and perform well at home against this team and as depleted as they are, it feels like taking a giant eraser to what you did Monday night.
But what I'm saying is this. You can't, because Will Levis played so well the last two series of the game, you can't take that and say, okay, yep, this is what we're going to be. We're going to start slinging the ball around the yard. No. The reason you were able, one of the reasons you were able to be in a position like that is because of what you did during the game as a whole. You stuck with your game plan and you allowed the other team to mess it up for you. You tried to mess it up for yourself, but you allowed Miami to do the bulk of the work for you, and you took advantage of it. You stayed within the framework of your offense. That's what they need to do. Tim Kelly needs to stay within the framework of his offense, and then if the big shots are there, take it.
Yeah, and I don't want there's a difference between being over-positive and overconfident. If they had come in there overconfident, they're going to have the same thing, the same situation to what happened down in Miami. Miami was overconfident, and they got beat. So they can't have that same situation down here when they're going against the Texans that's depleted, a wide receiver, also quarterback. So they got to make sure they start fast and do what they need to do of the identity of their team.
With that, it's time now to take a look at the final line. The Titans are 3-point favorites. Opened as 3, and it continues.
What?
As -3 for the Titans. How about this? The over-under is 37.5.
Oh, wow.
That means they are expecting almost 0 points.
Yeah. That's for like 90.
Less than 20 points a game. To be scored, 20 points between each team.
To be scored in this game. Time now for our game day predictions. Who wins today and why? Last week we talked Chris Sanders out of picking the Titans. And the Dolphins ended up winning. Chris Sanders, who wins today and why?
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans 24-10. And the reason I'm going 24-10 is because, the Texans have so many guys out. They got C.J. Stroud out. You got Tank Dell out. You got Nico Collins, your explosive players. And I know that the Titans might not beat them by a lot, but I just think the Tennessee Titans are going to beat them 24-10.
I am picking the Houston. No, what? I'm picking Tennessee, the Titans. I think they're going to win 24-14. I just think there's too many injuries, too many key injuries for the Houston Texans. I'm not sure D'Amico Ryans can, overcome the losses that he have on both offense and defense.
I would take the Titans 24-21. I still think the Titans defense stinks, so the Texans will eke out 21 points. That being said, I think Will Levis will win this game at home. So we're all picking the Titans.
Yes.
Speaking of injuries,
Uh-oh.
We got to give a shout-out to Connor back in the studio because Connor sounds like he's been hit with a with a bottle of the flu.
No, a and bottle.
Needs to get back to the NyQuil as soon as the show's over. Connor, great job today powering through, playing injured on game day.
Oh, yeah.
We know we can rely on him. That's going to do it for us. We will see you next week, same time, same place, before the Titans and the Seahawks. This has been the award-winning pregame show from Teddy's Tavern downtown, 102.5, 106.3.